You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
When conventional medicine could do nothing more for his gastrointestinal cancer, doctors told him to go home and talk to his 11-year-old son about losing a parent. But thanks to the wife of a co-worker who told him about cannabis oil, his health has improved dramatically. And here to tell his story is Ricky Fontenot of Arkansas. Ricky, good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Not a problem at all. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to let people know about my situation and what cannabis oil can do.
Take us back to the beginning of your story and tell us when you started to notice that something wasn't quite right with your health.
Okay, I think that started in 2013. All through 2013 and 14, I was experiencing fainting issues. And after many, many trips to the doctor, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And then in April of 2015, I got really bad sick. And, of course, for those last 2 years, I knew something was wrong with me, but they just couldn't figure it out. And so when I got sick, I was sick for about 4 days. And, I mean, I obviously knew it wasn't your common cold or flu or any kind of viral infection, and I just couldn't get over it. So I went to my doctor, and they drew some blood, and they finally noticed that I was anemic, and they apologized to me. They said they should have caught it on many of the blood tests before, and they did not, which could have led to a earlier detection. They immediately admitted me to the hospital. After 3 days of being in the hospital, they put me into a they put me through a CAT scan or CT scan, an abdominal scan, and they noticed a very large area on my stomach. And I think there was a dispute between the attending physician, who thought it was an infection pocket, and the surgeon, who thought it was a tumor. And it ended up being a tumor, which had attached to my stomach. It was a gastrointestinal tumor. A lot of people don't know this, but GIST or gastrointestinal stromal tumors can grow anywhere in the abdominal cavity. They can even end up eventually attaching themselves to the liver, small intestine, large intestines, to the rectum, even your pancreas. And mine was attached to the back of my stomach towards the bottom. And so the only way to know for sure was to perform emergency surgery. And I found out what was making me sick was that it was a tumor, and that it was infected with strep. And so, I mean, that news was pretty tough to deal with. The tumor itself ended up being, I want to say it was like 16 or 18 centimeters. It was one of the largest tumors that the surgeon had ever taken out of somebody. He was, he said it was rather large, and the margins weren't great, but he felt pretty good that he removed all of the tissue around it. So hopefully we wouldn't have any problems in the future. And then they put me on what they call TK drugs, or targeted chemotherapy drugs. They're really an inhibitor. It's different than your conventional intravenous chemo, which kills cancer cells. These just inhibit cells from growing. So what they try to do is to keep the tumors from growing until they can figure out another treatment. Your conventional chemotherapy and radiation do not work on these type of tumors.
Ricky, I just want to say that a 16-centimeter tumor, that's 6 inches. That is a large damn tumor.
That's a very large tumor. Yeah. Yes,
so,
it is.
So it's in your gastrointestinal tract, and the reason you probably had anemia is because of the tumor was blocking the nutrients from getting into your system. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that plus I had two – the tumor – had ate through part of my stomach lining was caused two ulcers, and I was losing blood through my stool, which I didn't notice. I'm not really a person that looks at my stool, but I just want to say to anybody listening to that, from time to time, you should do that. Just to check just to see. You never know. And that's where I was losing the blood. When I was in the hospital, they had to give me 5 pints of blood, which is an extreme amount. After 7 pints, after your body is 7 pints low on blood, your organs begin to shut down. I was 5 pints low.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty tough. And so they started me on the first TK drug was called Gleevec. It's one of the first drugs that the Drug Administration approved in 2003. It's called Gleevec, and they've had a lot of success with it. They put me on it. Tumors continued to grow, or the cancer cells at that time continued to grow. I didn't have any tumors yet, but after 4 months of being on Gleevec and my second CT scan, I then developed 2 tumors, and basically they just kept going from one TK drug to another. First it was Gleevec, and then it was, if I remember right, it was Sutent, and then it was Stivarga, and then Tasigna was my fourth one. And every time I went back to the doctor for a scan, which, by the way, I was going to MD Anderson Cancer Treatment Institute and Research Hospital, which is one of the best ones out there. They provided me with great care. Just unfortunately, their type of medicine just did not work for me.
You were having these scans, and, sorry to interrupt, you were having these scans every 2 months, is that correct?
Yeah, I was having the scans every 2 months, and then after 2 scans, if they didn't have any luck with the drug, then they'd move me to another one. And so by the time I got to the fifth drug, I had now had multiple tumors, which it was stage 4 metastatic cancer. I had maybe a 10% chance of living.
It's almost like it's almost as if the chemo was actually feeding the cancer.
It may have been.
You know,
with
every drug that you had, you had a new tumor.
Yeah, you know, and I work 40 to 50 hours a week in the I work for a commercial truck dealership filing warranty claims on big diesel trucks. And so, you know, and I also am a single father who takes care of an 11-year-old full time. And so my life is pretty stressed as it is, you know, without having to deal with that. And even though these drugs are not conventional intravenous chemo, they do still tend to make you sick from time to time. And I was miserable, sick a lot, dehydrated, losing weight, felt like I was kind of wasting away. So then on my doctor visit 4 months ago, they started me on what was going to be their last TK drug. And they basically they had a social worker come in and tell me I needed to prepare my son for losing a parent, and that I needed to, you know, have my things in order and be ready to leave this life. And that's tough news for anybody to hear.
I can't even imagine having to go home and do that. And
yeah, it was tough. It was very tough. My son, he does know his mother. She's around from time to time, but she's no caretaker. And of course, I don't speak ill of her. But you know, and that's worrisome to a child to know that the only person who he really has to take care of him might be gone.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
I know. Sorry to interrupt here, Ricky, but I noticed. You know, when you wrote us about what you had going on, so at that point the scan is showing 5 tumors between 4 centimeters and 8 centimeters.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind when they're telling you that you've got to go home and talk to your son and that basically this is it for you?
Yeah. Oh man. I'm going to tell you, when they told me, they continued to talk in that room for 20 minutes. My mother was in the room with me. After they said that I needed to, you know, prepare my son, they talked for 21 minutes. I didn't hear a word they said. Mm. I literally was just blown away and I could not think of anything else. I mean, I was so shocked. I couldn't even cry. I couldn't think. I just
almost like you were numb.
You know, yeah, it was like it was almost like an out of body experience. I was just so shocked. I couldn't believe it. And You know, I went home. You know, that's a long ride home from Houston. It's 8 hours, and I did a lot of thinking on the ride home, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to man up and deal with this. And I thought, you know what? There is got to be a better way, and I'm a man of faith, and I believe in God, and I pray, and God answered my prayers. He sent someone, the wife of one of my coworkers happened to hear of my story, and she told me about cannabis oil and got me in touch with Corey Yellen, and luckily, you know, through the information that she provided, I was able to get started on the cannabis oil. She really spoke great about it, enough to convince me to give it a try. And I'm so glad I did that. I started the oil, I want to say it was June 21st, maybe, somewhere in that area. I had just got back from the doctor. I'm trying to think.
Was this of June of 2015 or 2016?
This year, 2017. This year.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Yeah.
I spent 2 years taking these chemo drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Two years. And then and it just kept developing and growing. And every time I went there, it was more bad news. The tumors were getting bigger. Or now I've got a new tumor. You know, I went from one tumor to two to three and then to five. And then they were getting bigger. And it was 2 years of just being miserable and just praying for some type of good news and never receiving it.
Well, I remember
it was extremely tough.
I remember speaking with your coworker's wife and thinking, wow, we really have to move fast on this one. And voila, here you are.
Yeah.
Here you are.
It's an amazing story.
Tell listeners, Ricky, what happened a couple of days ago.
After I started on the oil, I took the oil right at a month. I was taking the oil within a few days. And just to let this is also, I hope you guys don't mind me using your form to speak out on another issue. I really want to say this. I don't know. I believe you guys are out of Canada, are you not?
That's right.
Okay. Well, here in America, I don't know if y'all have the same problem or not, but we have a bad opiate addiction here in the United States.
Fentanyl.
And let me tell you something. I've been taking since I've been on this taking these cancer pills, and since I've had this issue, I have been taking anywhere from 90 to 120 milligrams of oxycodone a day. That is a very, very high amount. That's almost one of the highest amounts they'll prescribe you. And I knew within a few months that if I ever did beat this cancer, it was going to be very, very hard to get off of the pain pills because they are very addictive. And within just a few days of starting the oil, I had no desire to take those pills at all. And I felt so good, I had completely forgotten about taking the chemo medicine.
Attaboy.
I actually was planning on taking the chemo medicine along with the oil, you know, just as, you know, maybe one of the two will work, you know, and I just forgot all about it, and I stayed on the cannabis oil, and trying to hit the targeted dose was a lot easier for me than I hear. I read a lot about it online, and I see that some people have a problem hitting a targeted dose. It was not a problem for me. It's an ingestible, so I injected the oil into a Twinkie. And, of course, it made the Twinkie taste like the bottom of a lawnmower.
You're the second person that's used that term.
That's right.
Lawnmower.
The bottom of
a
lawnmower. That's right.
So then I started thinking, what can I just, without chewing, what can I swallow? And so Jell-O worked out really well for me. I used the Jell-O, injected into that, and was able to swallow the Jell-O, no problems at all. I was able to do the recommended dosage, but I couldn't do it during the middle of the day because I'm working.
Right.
So I took the total dosage that was required daily and split it into two and did that in the morning and at night.
Right. Yeah.
And I did it for almost a month. I was within a few days of a month, and then I go back to my doctor's appointment. And they walked in, and I knew it was good news when they walked in because the doctors were all smiles, and they had a whole bunch of researchers with them. They were shocked themselves. They said they'd never seen anything like it. What they did was is they put my scan from 2 months ago up right next to my new scan. And in a CT scan, the tumors and cancer cells are light. They light up like a Christmas tree. So I'm looking at the tumors that are lit up on the old scan, and then I look at the new ones, and the new ones are mostly dark. And so what the doctor tells me is that tumors die from the inside out, and they actually will swell some as they die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at my tumors, and the first one I see is probably 70% dead. It's so dark in the middle, and then the only part that's light is just kind of around the edges. And then we start looking at the rest of them, and they're literally just a small ring around the edge that's even lit up. Like the rest of them were like 90% just
90%
dead.
Gone. Yeah,
I could just see.
Yeah,
you,
just
I could dead. Just see you sitting there, Ricky, saying, "Die, you bastards, die!"
Oh yes, I was so excited. I was just shocked. Honestly, you know, like I said, I'm a man of faith, and I really try to believe that God's going to take care of me, but. After getting bad news every appointment for 2 years, it was so hard to try to believe something good was going to come out of this. And I was very skeptical of the oil. You know, I really was.
Did the doctors ask you anything?
I was one of those people, you know. I thought, oh, this is a gimmick. This is a gimmick. They're trying to sell something. This is a gimmick. There's no way. This can't work. And so I was convinced into it by a coworker's wife who actually saw it work on an 8-year-old child. And after hearing that, I said, what do I have to lose? You know, I've got nothing to lose. I only have something to gain, which is my life. Yeah. So why wouldn't I, you know?
Ricky,
so
I've done it. Did the doctors ask you what you did or what you were doing?
They did. They test you for, you know, they test your blood. They even have you pee in a cup. They're testing when they have you pee in a cup. They're really they say they're testing for liver enzymes and kidney function, but you know that they know. I did tell them what I was doing. They didn't think it was a great idea.
Well, no, because you're not spending money on their chemotherapy. Come on.
Yeah. That's right. That's
you know,
right.
They get
they
commissions
didn't think
for that.
That was a great idea. And you know they're never going to come out and say, well, that the oil healed me. They're always going to believe that it was their chemotherapy, you know, which I wasn't even taking.
Yeah, yeah. So, that was your last that was their last choice, wasn't it? Their last drug to try on you.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't tell them that I didn't take it, and I kind of wanted to let them know that I wasn't taking it and that I was taking the oil, but I didn't get too much into that because I still need to be treated by these people going forward. I need them to
follow
continue to scan me.
Yeah,
to be able to, because this isn't over. You know,
no.
I've still got ways to go, so I didn't want to ruffle too many feathers there. But definitely, when you guys asked me to come on your show, I was very excited to tell my story because I know there are other people out there who might be at their end, and there are other options. And this
there
is
are other options, and this is a classic case of when things are essentially over, and they're not over.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the turnaround you've done. Ricky, I have to just tell you, please, 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 once you're completely clear, stay on a maintenance dose.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's really key.
Yes. I believe it works well for me. I mean, within a few days, like I said, I was off all painkillers. And anybody who's been on painkillers for a long period of time, I tell you, you just do not stop taking painkillers in 2 or 3 days.
No.
It's just not possible. Your body will cause you all kinds of problems. So this isn't just about cancer. This is about, you know, this could also be about opiate addiction.
A person,
you know, if you're addicted to opiates and it's ruining your life, go this route.
Yeah,
it works for me.
We've interviewed a couple of people who got off of opiates using cannabis.
Those things are so bad for you, man. They tear up your liver and your kidneys. Those opiates is so bad for you. You just don't even realize.
It is surprising, Ricky, that you did it cold turkey.
I mean,
stopped. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised myself because of how many I was taking. I thought, man, I'm going to have to wing myself off this. There's no way. And within just a couple of days, I didn't even, when I thought about it, I just almost got sick to my stomach thinking about even taking one of them, you know, because I just didn't need it.
You didn't need
there wasn't
it,
any pain. There wasn't a craving for the pill. I wasn't having any of the side effects that, that people get when they don't take the medication. So I was just, I mean, you know, my friends and family, people that know me, my coworkers, they were like, man, you sure are feeling better. And so I think that's why we were all so positive going into this last doctor's appointment that something good was going to happen, was because I had never felt that that well before.
What's your son's reaction to all
the
news?
He was extremely excited. He really was. He was, actually, I would say, I'm using the wrong word. Excited isn't the word. Relieved is the word, because you could tell, you know, an 11-year-old, they just know, you know, what. I don't know that they understand death that well. Some of them, I'm pretty sure, but I think he knew what that meant for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knew that, you know, with his mom not being able to raise him and his dad being gone, that he was going to spend his time being raised by grandparents, and you know, things were going to be different for him, and he definitely didn't want that. And so I think it was a big smile on his face and a big sigh of relief.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so,
you know,
Rick, it was great.
You are, what, 37 years old?
37 years old, yes, sir. This started when I was 33.
That is quite remarkable.
Two years of having anemia and not being able to figure out what was wrong with me, and then 2 years of fighting the cancer, you know. Actually, more than 2 years now. It's been almost 2.5. And here I am, you know. With most of my cancer, most of my tumors dead, and hopefully by the time I go back for my next doctor's visit, hopefully they'll be completely dead.
All of us have an endocannabinoid system. We need cannabis within our systems, and it strikes me, listening to your story, being such a young person and suffering these terrible bouts of gastrointestinal cancer, it strikes me that your body was really craving the cancer. Mm-hmm. That's why you got off the opiates so quickly.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing to me. I couldn't believe that someone could. I've known a few people in my life that had opiate addiction, and I've seen them struggle. And I myself haven't had it, but I realized that taking those drugs for 2 years, that it was going to be tough to get off of them. And thankfully, I don't have that issue now. I don't have to go through what some of these people have had to go through. And they don't have to either. You know what I mean? They can use this oil, and within a few days, they'll be off of pain medication too, and will have no cravings for it. You know, those things can ruin your life. I've seen these people go out and spend every dollar they have trying to buy pills off the street from people who are charging way more than they're worth for something that's a man-made chemical that might take away the pain for a little while, but is really doing more damage to your body than it is anything else. You know, all of these pharmaceutical pills, if this, people don't talk about it, but the pharmaceutical business is like it's a $30 billion a year business. It's insane. And very little of it is actually good for you. Very little. Most of it is damaging to your body.
No, Ricky, when do you get your next scan?
I haven't got my appointment yet, but it would be around 2 months from now.
2 months from now. So you do it every two months. You get your next scan.
Yes.
The last scan you had showed that many of the tumors were dying. And what do you expect from your next scan?
I expect from my next scan to walk in and them tell me that I'm in complete remission.
Yeah.
Yeah, won't that be a great moment for you?
Yeah, to go from stage 4 and needing to start purchasing a burial plot to I'm, you know, in complete remission within a couple of months.
This is like 3.5 weeks. Maybe four.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was three and a half weeks ago that I talked to
his coworker's wife. That was I remember the call very clearly.
Yeah.
When you said June, I thought you were talking about June of last year.
No.
Wow.
This is like three and a half weeks.
This is amazing.
It happened very, very quickly. And I think, you know, I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor. I'm not even an entrepreneur of marijuana, but I can tell you this much. It almost seems like the cannabis takes so much of the stress and so much of the pain off your body that your body can really just fight back on its own when it's not having to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just sure the way that it seems to me. And I know it's more scientific than that, but for a lot of people, you know, we don't know the medical reasonings behind this stuff. We just know we want to get better.
I'm just glad your coworker's wife was able to convince you to try it.
Yeah, absolutely. I had nothing to lose. And she was very, very convincing. And she got me on the phone with you. And after hearing what you had to say and reading a lot of the posts for that foundation? I cannot remember the name of it now. Something Hearts or... Man, I can't remember, but there was a website it was a forum that people were posting on that were using the oil
Phoenix
and all the success
Tears.
Stories they had.
Phoenix Tears. Yeah, Phoenix Tears, cannabis.
Anybody that wants to know what this stuff really can do, go to that phoenixtears.com. That is an amazing site.
Or phoenixtears.ca, and we also have a Facebook page, Phoenix Tears Cannabis Oil Advice with Corey, Janet, and Jen. Or Jen and
yeah,
Janet.
That was – I saw a video that my coworker turned me on to of a man that had Parkinson's. Yes. And he couldn't talk. He couldn't speak. I mean, he couldn't do anything. He was literally out of it.
Yeah, we interviewed him.
I mean, it was severe Parkinson's. And then after taking this cannabis oil, I mean, he was just sitting there having a clear conversation like me and you and anybody else. And I just thought, wow, that is some powerful stuff right there. And to think that it's just something, it's all natural. It's something that God put right here for us.
Ricky,
we didn't even know.
What was your attitude towards cannabis prior to trying it?
Well, I was occasional smoker. I'm going to be honest with you. I like to smoke in moderation. Doesn't take much for me. I'm a lightweight. I'm a person that likes to, I don't care to smoke in public. I'm a person that likes to go home in the evening, unwind after my shower, sit down, smoke a little and watch TV. But the current job that I'm at does random drug testing. I've been here 6 years. And they know with my cancer situation to keep me off of the list because they knew what I was doing. I went and told them, you know, that I would be doing that. So they did not random to me. But previously, I had been subject to a few random drug tests. So I was just using it every now and then. But there has been times in my life where I used it daily. Not a person against it at all. I really do enjoy it.
But you know, that's very good of your employer to keep you off the list.
Oh yeah, they are very nice people. I work for a pretty large company. We're in 8 states, 32 dealerships. I just went to them and they says, hey, you know, we will send somebody in your place, you know, if you get pulled on the random, because, you know, they said we wouldn't do this for anybody else. But, you know, we understand your situation. You have cancer and you're trying to better yourself. So we're not going to hit you with a drug test to, you know, get you fired and lose your medical insurance, you know. So
you're just trying to save your life.
Understanding about it. It's been a tough battle, but I just. Anybody out there that is in that same situation, don't give up hope. There is still a way. It's out there. You just got to go and get it. And the information is available. I'd done a lot of researching when I got this cancer about different things I could do for cures, and never once did I really notice anything about cannabis oil. And it just was the luck that a coworker went home and mentioned it to his wife, and she already had experience with it. And she contacted me, and she was so passionate about it. And after all the information that you guys give to me and that she gave to me, I felt like it was a sign that I needed to try it. And it definitely worked. And now here I am. You know,
almost cancer-free.
Hopefully live a full and wonderful life.
Ricky, I want to ask you one last question. When you get a second lease on life, what sort of perspective does that give you on life itself? Does it change your attitude?
It does. It really does. You know, for me, I think that it really what came to mind was how petty people can be. Once you are faced with your own mortality, you look at life a complete different way. You know, I feel like I'm not near as petty as I used to be. I used to care so much about, you know, just different things, money and objects and a very objectivity. And I was a person who could sometimes get a little too angry, not let the little things go, stuff like that. It really changes your attitude towards life in those ways and just, you know, made me look at my own character and try to make some improvements there, because now I've got a second chance here and I want to try to make the best of it. And there's no need to continue some of the petty things that I have dealt with, you know what I mean? So that was really the perspective for me, was just to examine my life and see where I could be better. And to try to make that happen.
Fantastic story, Ricky. It's great to see that you're on the road to recovery, and we wish you all the best in the future. Thank you very much for this.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, and I am so excited for you as well. I wish I could reach through the microphone and give you a big hug.
I as well. And I sure appreciate everything y'all have done for me, and I sure wish y'all luck getting the story out, and maybe some more people could benefit from it.
Thanks, Ricky.
Y'all have a good day.
You as well.
And that's another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. If you'd like to help us out here at Cannabis Health Radio, then go to our webpage and make a donation. It can be a monthly donation or a one-time donation for as little as $3. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey there, my name is Leah Babruti, and I'm the founder and host of Canna Chicks Podcast, where I discuss cannabis, psychedelics, and other natural medicines. I not only interview people who use them as treatment for different conditions, but also the entrepreneurs who share their knowledge on how they built their businesses. If this sounds interesting to you, give my show a listen. I'm sure you'll learn something that'll surprise you.